teeth more. Hallelujah. Stay, everybody. Stay, everybody.
Thank you, Brother BJ. Glory to God. Oh, let's stand up and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we're blessed. We're blessed to be alive in this time, in this season. And we're blessed. You know, the Lord said to me some years ago, I don't mean I heard a voice, but He spoke to my heart. He said, Keith, most of the world is either dead or asleep. He's talking about spiritually. Spiritually dead means you've never been born again. But asleep means you have been born again, but you're acting like you haven't. You're just as oblivious to what's really going on as those that have never been born again. Most of the world, either dead or asleep. But there's a handful. I said there's a handful.
Hallelujah.
By comparison.
Yes.
That are alive.
Yes.
And awake.
Yes.
Oh, come on, somebody say awake.
Awake.
Have you been born again in this place?
Yes.
The Bible said, awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Oh, let's lift up our hands, let's lift up our hearts, and thank the Lord by faith for being alive and for being awake. Lord, we thank you for letting us live in this time. Thank you for allowing us to know you. Thank you for giving us eyes that see and ears that hear and awareness. Thank you, Lord, that our days are not in vain and our life is not in vain and our future is not bleak. Our future is bright. Bright, and the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. This song came up to my mind and heart. If you guys could help me, it's I Walk by Faith. Do y'all know the one I'm talking about? It's what key are we in? G. I walk by faith, each step by faith. To live by faith, I put my trust in you. Everybody sing it along. I walk by faith, each step by faith. To live by faith, I put my trust in you. Sing it as you know. I walk by faith, each step by faith to live. By faith, I put my trust in you. Just sing it some more. I walk by faith, each step by faith. Whoa, to live by faith, I put my trust in you. Sing it to the Lord. Say, I walk by faith, each step by faith to live. By faith, I put my trust in you. Sing it again. I walk by faith, every step by faith to live. By faith, I put my trust in you. Every step that I take is a step by faith. Oh, I live, I trust, I walk and breathe faith. Every step I take is a step of faith. Every prayer that we pray is a prayer of faith. Sing the chorus again.
I walk by faith.
Oh,
each
each step
by faith
to live. By faith,
put my trust in you.
Oh, say,
I walk
by faith,
by faith to live.
By faith,
I put my trust in you.
Come on, sing it again.
I walk by faith. Each step
is by faith to live.
By
faith,
I put my trust in
you. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, you told us faith was the only way we could please you. You told us faith was the victory that overcomes the whole world. Thank you for opening our eyes and our mind and our heart. Whatever we need to hear, whatever we need to see, we're believing you to reveal it to us and establish us in it. And we say we won't be afraid and we won't draw back. But we'll stand up and we'll step out by faith. And we know that'll please you. And we know it'll bring victory in Jesus' name. Oh, just lift your hands and worship Him. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We glorify, we glorify, we glorify. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Close your eyes and don't be looking around. And I heard this come up in my spirit. You can continue to just play softly on the instruments, please. This came up. I heard this. The enemy told more than one person before you got here tonight, it probably won't do any good. Okay, I'll go, but I've probably already heard it. It probably won't matter. It probably won't make any difference. Well, the Spirit of God wants you to know that's a lie. If you believe it, it'll be so to you, and even though the answer will come, you won't hear it. But if you'll cast that aside and say, I believe, then you'll have ears to hear. And it won't pass by you, but you'll hear it and you see it. No, your faith should not be in a man or a woman, but your faith should be in the Lord your God. And you should believe that the answer is here and that you'll see it and you'll hear it. And by grace, you can do it and things can change. Things can change. Oh, somebody needs to believe it tonight. Somebody needs to believe it tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Everybody, just say this out loud. Say it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Nothing's too hard for you.
Nothing is too hard for you.
Nothing is hidden from you.
Nothing is hidden from you.
You see everything clearly.
You see everything clearly.
And plainly. Just because I haven't seen it, doesn't mean it's hard for you to see. Or that you need to find it out. You already know. And I believe you can cause me to see
tonight
you're here. So the answer is already here.
I believe I receive it.
I expect to see it.
I expect to know it.
I believe I can do it. In
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, the people of God shouted while the wall was still up. while they still couldn't see a way through it or over it, they shouted. The Lord said, shout now, right? Before you see that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't care what you're talking about. I don't care how long it's been that way, how hard it's been. With the Lord, it's easy. 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 Glory to God. Somebody say it's easy for Him. Now we're talking about whatever's been bugging you, whatever's been harassing you. It's easy for Him. Easy. 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 How many believe right here in this place tonight? Tonight. The Lord say one word to you and just change it. Just, He could touch you by His Spirit right where you are. Just touch you by His Spirit, and what you've been messing with, struggling with for years, just change. 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 Do you believe He's that big? He's that great. He's that strong. So come on, say it again. It's easy for Him. Easy. 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 Easy for Him. Easy for the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm already glad I came tonight. Praise God. You can be seated. Thanks, guys. Thank y'all for helping me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord, our great and good God, our Father. Now don't lose all your excitement just because you sit down. Right? Huh? It's not stand up is lively mode and sit down is dead mode. No. Stay hooked. Stay ready. You know, if faith is the substance of things hoped for. And hope means expect. And so if you're in faith, you're expecting. If you're not expecting, you're not in faith. If you're sitting back going, well, we'll see. Actually, you won't. The psalmist said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord, not in the sweet by and by, in the land of the living. He said, I'd have perished unless I had done that. But obviously, he didn't perish because that's what he did. If you would turn in the scripture this evening to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans, the 4th chapter, if you want to find those couple of places. 2 Corinthians 5 and Romans 4. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. And like Brother Watts said, we've been friends a long time, me and Phyllis and he and Mr. Reese. We're thankful for how the Lord is using you all in the ministry and the good things that are going on. And, it's such a privilege and honor to be in the work of the Lord. Amen. Do you know that? I think we really don't have a clue how much it is. We're going to find out soon after this is done and we see the seeds and the harvest affected in eternity. I believe people will come up to us, millennia from now and say, glory to God, you know, boy, that service we were in and that message that the Lord gave me and gave you, it just changed my life. Because the Bible says what the Lord does is forever. Yes. And how many know the word of the Lord's not passing away? Yes. Well, isn't that what, when we come to church, what are we talking about? Huh? The word of the Lord, right? And so this, you know, and we won't do this forever.
You and I are just here for a few days, and this is passing real quickly. So these are special times that we have to come together and be in the presence of the Lord and each other's presence, and to have the Holy Spirit speak to us and touch us and move on us. Somebody say, He's here. He's here. He's here. Glory to God. He's here. He's here to talk to you. He's here to touch you. Come on, are you believing with me now? I can see Him. I can see the Spirit of God touching people in their brain. And something wasn't quite right there that would have turned out to be life-threatening later, but it's healed right here tonight. And they never even knew they had it. And never will. I can see the Spirit of God touching somebody in their stomach, in their digestive system, and they've been having trouble, and it's been waking them up at night, and they hadn't been able to eat certain things. And after tonight, just have no more trouble with that. Amen. Just forget about it, and just realize maybe days later, you know, man, it's been 3 weeks, and I hadn't had one pain or one problem, and realize that you're healed, totally healed, yeah. Totally healed. Amen. And it wasn't me that did it, it wasn't you that did it, it was Him. He's here. Come on, do you believe He's here?
Yeah, yeah.
And the more we can put our mind on Him and the more we can open our heart to Him, He'll manifest Himself. If I mostly just look at you and you mostly just look at me, well, it won't happen. It'll be limited. It'll be curtailed. But if you and I can focus on Him, and even though I'm looking at you, I'm looking at Him. And even though you're looking at me, you're looking at Him. Right? And we can be mindful of Him, then great things can happen. Thank you, Lord. Some of the greatest miracles occur in ways that you can't see. Sometimes somebody's sitting right beside you, and you didn't know it at the moment, but the Lord, a word came into them that went down inside them that changed the way they think and changed who they are. And it's not always evident the next couple of days, but it actually sets them on a different course in their life, and they wind up at a different place. Years down the road. Do you believe in the power of His Word? His Word has the power to heal, to deliver, to change, to restore. Do you have faith in the Word of the Lord? Well, we're about to read some of that Word. Before I get into this, and I may not think of it again, we brought materials tonight, CDs and DVDs and teaching and preaching and singing and that kind of thing. And because of the Lord's faithfulness and our word partners, our word senders, we call them, we'll be able to sow those to you tonight at no charge. So when you go out to the back, yes, amen, thank you, Lord. When you go out to the back, if you would just receive like one item per couple or per family, that way they'll go further. And anything else that you want from the ministry, you can go on the website and download it in its entirety. There's a lot of material there. They'll send you hard copies from the ministry. It won't cost you anything if you want some more like that. And you've already sown into our ministry this evening, and that is that's what is going. It'll go far. We didn't charge anything to come here tonight, and these materials were sent here at no charge. And so what we'll do now is we'll go to other places at no charge, and you'll be sending materials there at no charge. And so it's all seed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So thank you very much for sowing into us. But really, you didn't just sow it into me. You sowed it into the Lord and to other people that'll benefit from the Word. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, as I was praying and seeking the Lord about this evening, these thoughts came to me. And I'm stirred up about it. And I'm believing before it's over with, I won't be by myself. stirred up about it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Anybody got this one marked? Huh? What does it say? For we walk by faith, not by sight. Let's all read that out loud together. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Say it again. For we walk by faith, not by sight. There's something we do walk by, and there's something we don't walk by. We don't walk by sight. We do walk by faith. Now, there's no such thing as too much faith. No such thing. Doesn't exist. That's like saying, too blessed. Too much consolation or too much joy or too much peace. There is no such thing. Or too encouraged. No such thing as going, I just had all the encouragement I can stand. I don't want to be any more encouraged. No such thing. No such thing. So if you ever hear any foolishness about, God had a movement of faith and now, he's doing something else. Where's that scripture at? No, you live by faith. You're born again by faith. You walk by faith. You please God by faith. Every victory's by faith. And you can't learn too much about faith or have too much faith in you and about you. There's a lot of confusion and wrong thinking in these areas. Just because you know some faith scriptures doesn't mean you're full of faith.
That's right. That's right.
And just because you got some faith stickers on your bumper or on your refrigerator. Doesn't mean you're full of faith.
That's right.
And there's one thing to talk about faith and even teach on faith, and that is not the same as having faith and living by faith. And the reason I said is because there's a lot of folks that think, what's the problem? I've been in the Word for years and I know about faith and I have faith, but I... What's holding me up? What's hindering my progress? And again, it is a failure to walk by faith among faith people. I got three nods and a grunt and two amens. No, it is. Whether it's you or whether it's me, there's been times that I've been dealing with something and got frustrated about it and just had to realize in the middle of it, boy, you are not in faith.
That's right. Amen.
Quit being frustrated and annoyed and quit looking at anybody else. You are not in faith. Yeah, but I made 10 good confessions today. That doesn't mean you're in faith. Are y'all with me? One really great way you can tell you're in faith? You get results. It works. It works. Say it again. I walk by faith. Not by sight. Now that means you walk by what you believe, not by what you see and perceive with the senses. Now, you will be tempted all the time to make decisions based on what you see or don't see or hear or feel or don't feel. But if you walk with Him, you walk by faith. And faith means you don't see it. In the natural, you don't perceive it with the senses. Now, look in Romans, the 4th chapter. Now, don't presume you already know this. That'd be a big mistake. Don't assume you already know this, because if any man thinks he knows anything, what does the Scripture say? He doesn't know anything yet like he ought to know. And thank God for any light or revelation you got from Mark 11, 23 and 24 or any other verse. But you're not so foolish as to think you have exhausted even half of the light out of any one of these Scriptures, right? And another good indication that we're actually in faith and getting in faith, real faith is accompanied with a quickening. A quickening. Why? Because His word is the word of life. And his faith is a faith that comes of life. And when the word, how does faith come? Does anybody know in here? I know you know this. Faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing by the word. Actually, if you look it up, it's the literal is word of the Christ. And the word Christ is anointed. Faith comes by hearing the anointed word. Not by logging mental information. Not by taking a bunch of notes. You can commit numerous scriptures to memory and have numerous books of notes and not be full of faith. Faith comes with a quickening. When the light comes, faith is there. And when you see it, it's not dull and it's not boring. And it's not old hat. Come on, have you ever gotten something in the Word where you saw it? And the Spirit of God spoke to you and it applied to your situation and you heard it and you saw it. Did it quicken you? Come on, did it quicken you? Did you go, oh, glory to God. That's it. That's it. I see it. I see it. There was light. It was light and it was life. And it was quickening and it's excitement. But when you're thinking, oh, I know that. I've been knowing that now on 40 years now. Yeah, I've been, we know all them scriptures. We know all those, we know the 9 steps and the 12 principles. Huh? We know them all. No, that's a sign that it's not living in you. It's just mental information, and that won't pay your bills and it won't heal your babies. It's a living word. It's a living faith because we serve a living God. Come on. Do you believe it? And it he quickens you. And when he does, it brings excitement. And when you're really in faith, you're totally persuaded of something that is wonderfully good and that excites you. And then you believe God has heard your prayer and the answer is coming to you and that excites you. And you believe no matter what's going on, God's bigger than everything else and it's easy for him to change and fix and that excites you. And if you're not excited, you're not in faith. No such thing as being depressed and being full of faith. Contradiction. Can't be. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, where do you get it though? How do you get that? You get it from hearing what he's telling you and believing what he's telling you. The joy comes. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somebody say the devil is a liar.
The devil is a liar.
God is exciting.
God is exciting.
Yes, he is. Now go to Romans chapter 4. Is this okay tonight? Can you take this? Romans 4. Because we got somewhere to get to tonight. We need to stay with it till we get there. Romans 4. We're given the example, the great example of Abraham as our father of faith. And the scripture says in verse 12, Romans 4:12, that he's the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. He's our father. By faith in Jesus, we have now become the seed of Abraham. Come on, is it true?
Yes.
Galatians 3 talks extensively about this. It talks about it some more right here in this same fourth chapter of Romans. But you and I, do you have faith in Jesus? Do you believe in him?
Amen.
You're his, then you are the seed of Abraham. He is your father. And he is also the father of faith. A father of faith. He'll be known throughout eternity for his faith and how it pleased God, and God called him his friend. Amen. 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 How he stood up and looked into the night sky, and he's getting older and older, and his wife is too, and she's barren. And God said, look up there. Can you count all those stars? And he said, no, sir. He said, that's how many kids you're going to have. Could see no way, no how. And the Bible said Abraham did what? He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's whose kids we are. Come on now. Sometimes people say, well, what about your family tree? You know, who can you trace your lineage back to? Ours is easy. I am born of God. And among those of my patriarchs is Abraham, is my grandpa. Right? And the wonderful thing, come on now, you could get excited if you listen to this real good. The same spirit of faith that was in him and on him is in me. And on me and in you. And on you. But we're going to walk it out the same way he walked it out. And I use this word very advisedly. I said walk. Now, did you notice verse 12? What did it say? It says, we walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. The complete Jewish Bible says it like this. The complete Jewish Bible says, we're also followers in the footsteps of the trust which Abraham had. We follow in the footsteps of trust, the footsteps of faith. Now, Phyllis and I have been walking with the Lord for 30-some years now. And in the ministry and learning how to walk by faith. And some things, you know, the Lord's given us projects and we've seen Him complete them and take bigger steps and take bigger steps. And everything that He's led us to do, and we saw it proven out that it was Him and He did it. It was by faith. And you'll see him doing it the same way over and over again. And he's no respecter of persons. Every friend of mine in the ministry and everybody that I'd consider an elder or a peer, you see the same thing happening in their life. You'll see him speaking to individuals and you'll see them getting faith and getting excited and getting a vision. And then you will see them taking a step of faith. Say it out loud. A step of faith. And no amount of shouting and hollering and praying and counseling and having people lay hands on you will substitute for taking that step of faith. And if you won't take the step of faith, a lot of things will begin to shut down for you. Are you listening now? And then you begin to go in the other direction. And there are numerous people throughout the body of Christ that are disillusioned. They are depressed. Unhappy. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about people born again, people that have been filled with the Spirit, yeah. Tongue-talking people that believe in faith, believe in healing, believe in gifts of the Spirit and prosperity, but just miserable. Mm-hmm. Miserable. Mm-hmm. And so many times after years, confused. And seemingly cannot find the answer. Cannot find the solution. And I want you to know and I want you to believe, God is not making this thing hard for us. Our Father loves us, and He is not hiding His plan from us. He has not made it terribly complicated and complex. He has not made it some kind of a maze for us to try to some way, somehow, only the most spiritual and the most special will ever find this elusive plan and will of God. That's a lie. I said, that's a lie. The devil is the one who wants to make it complicated. He's the one who is the author of confusion. Did you know this now? No, the Lord has not hidden these things from us. He's prepared them for us, and He reveals them to us. But some have not understood how He works. He does not show you the entire picture. He does not draw you the entire map from departure to destination. He will not sit down with you and your scheduler and your calendar and lay it out for you, the 5-year plan and 10-year plan and 40-year plan, and tell you, you know, what's going to happen every day and every week. And somebody said, well, I wish He would. Well, He's not. So get over it. He's not going to change and do it your way. If you're going to succeed, you have to change and do it His way. And His way is the faith way. Y'all believing with me tonight? His way is the faith way. Now tell me about faith again. Most of y'all know Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? It is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Probably more likely in our modern vernacular, we'd say expected. And what's the rest of the verse? The evidence of what? Of things what? Not seen. By very nature of what faith is, there's so much you're not seeing. Now look in Hebrews. We're talking about it, but Hebrews the 11th chapter. Let's look at another verse over there. We're believing God tonight, aren't we? Are there answers here? There's answers in the Word. There's answers here. There's help here. Do you believe it's possible to get free? Free from darkness and confusion. Anything that's been hindering you and holding you back. And let things just become clear and then rise up and get enough faith to step out and step out of and into. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. The Scripture is talking about Abraham. We read about him taking the steps of faith and how that we are his children, his seed, and we're to take steps of faith just like he did. In Hebrews 11:8, Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? Obey. He prayed. Obey. Huh? Obey. He prayed. Obey. He counseled. Obey. Huh? He spent long hours waiting on the Lord. Praying in tongues. Huh? Isn't that just as good? Huh? He spent long hours talking into the night with his spiritual friends. Huh? Talking about the possible meanings and ramifications of what the Lord had told him. Huh? No, not prayed. not counseled, not thought about it. What did he do? Now, don't let this be too simple for you. This is the difference between happy, successful, fruitful Christians and miserable, depressed, confused Christians. Right here. Right here. The devil's very subtle. He's very crafty. And he never comes in the front door. Does he? And people are doing all kind of, in their mind, spiritual things. And they don't realize it cannot substitute for stepping out in faith. An act of faith. Obedience. When it's time to step out and obey in faith, nothing will substitute for it. Nothing. No amount of praying, no amount of fasting, no amount of counseling, no amount of talking, no amount of people praying for you, nothing can fix it. Except you. Getting yourself up. Huh? And stepping out beyond the familiar, beyond the comfortable. Beyond what you have seen. Beyond what you know and understand and know how to do and see how to do. Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, you know, author of the little great little books on healing, made this comment. She said, God delights in His children stepping out over the aching void with nothing underneath their feet but the Word of God. And He does. He delights in it. He will say, jump. And he doesn't want to hear anything except splash. I'm serious. He doesn't want to hear anything. He don't want to hear any questions. He don't want to hear any comments. And if you trust him, that's what you'll do. If you don't trust him, you'll ask questions. And you'll make comments. And you'll think about it. And you say, well, I pray about it. Come on, read it again. What the Bible say? Are you a child of Abraham?
Yes.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. Now, that's very significant too. When he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what did he do? What did he do?
Obey.
He obeyed. And he went out not knowing. I want you to say those four words. He went out not knowing. Say it again. He went out not knowing. Say it again. He went out not knowing. Now we are the educated generation. We've been to school.
That's right.
We know some stuff. We live in the information age. We have access to virtually unlimited information. And so we used to knowing and finding out and emphasizing on you got to know. You got to know. Know before you go. Is not a scripture. What actually is a scripture? He went before he knew. Before he knew what? Huh? Now, when's the last time you left on a trip not knowing where you were going? and yet you've been born again. And that same spirit that was in Abraham is in you. You have the potential of living this way. It's up to you and me whether we'll yield to it or not. Whether, like what the scriptures say in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. Huh? With all your heart. What else?
Lean
not. That sounds like don't walk beside, don't it? Lean not to your own understanding. What's the next verse say? In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and what'll happen? Well, this is where your steps come in, isn't it? I mean, your steps are on the path. But we're not walking, we're not taking steps down the path by sight or by knowledge or by understanding. We take them by faith. Faith in what He told us. Faith in what He said. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. Oh, I like that word. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Go back to Genesis, and let's remind ourselves of the record of this actually happening. Get more light from it. Thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph.
Yeah.
Genesis 12. Genesis 12. The Lord loves you. He cares about you. He doesn't want you hurting. He don't want you crying. He don't want you wasting your time. He loves you. He cares about you. He's got your answer right here tonight. It's right here. Don't, please, please, don't get annoyed at me. Don't get annoyed at Him. You know, it could be that He was saying something through me. Is it in the realm of possibility?
Yes.
That He could be saying something through me. And in that case, if you got annoyed with me when I was saying it, you'd actually be annoyed with Him. I didn't say everything that came out of my mouth was Him talking. I said, but it could be. Huh? I mean, that's what I'm believing for here tonight. I hope you're believing with me that I don't just come and share some goofy ideas I had one time, but that He is actually anointing me. Amen. And that He's bringing thoughts to my mind and giving utterance, and that I'm hearing from Him. You're hearing from Him. And we are reading His Word here, aren't we? We know this is Him. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get you out of your country and from your aunties and uncles and grandpa and grandma and brothers and sisters. Right? And all your running buddies. Get up and get out of there. And from your father's house unto a land that I will, future tense, show you. And I will make of you a great nation. Every time the Lord tells you to do something, there is a blessing on the other end of it. Come on, do you believe this? There is. He's planning on bringing you up to a place that you could have never got yourself. He's planning on putting things in your hand you could have never achieved. He's planning on doing things in you, with you, for you, through you. Do you believe it? He's never taking anything away from you and hurting you so that you'll wind up in a bad place, a worse place that you... Never, never. Can you trust Him?
Yes.
He said, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, The most blessed is the ones that have the power to bless. Huh? If you've been believing to get your needs met and pay your bills and get out of debt and get caught up, that's great. That's great. But take it on up another notch. Come on, lift it on up higher. Hmm? Because the ultimate goal should not just be so you could watch a lot of hours of TV comfortably with no debt to worry about. Or so that you could retire early and spend a whole lot more time on the golf course or out on the lake in the fishing boat.
That's right.
Absolutely. That if that's your ultimate goal, then you're not on the same thought wavelength thinking with God. Because His thought for you is to bring you into a place where that your needs are met and you're well taken care of, but not stop there. That's just the staging area. Come on, to prep you. Oh, come on, to be a blessing that He could use you to minister faith and healing and deliverance and power and resources. I believe I am convinced God is looking for a group of people in the earth that will not be asleep spiritually and asleep at the wheel, but like we were talking about, that will believe He is big enough to completely free them from mundane obligations and responsibilities. Somebody that's got enough faith not to just believe for the little house and the little car and stuff, but to believe and get up in the morning, and if the Lord tells you to pray half the day, then you pray half the day. If He tells you to pack your bags and fly halfway across the world and stay 3 months and pay off somebody's church or stay there and minister. Come on, are you listening to me? You have the resources. You got the freedom.
Hallelujah.
I come from poverty. I little ignorant country boy, punching a clock, living, I started to say living from week to week, but wasn't making that. You know what I mean? Run out before you got to the next paycheck. And just, had no vision and had no faith. And glory to God. Glory to God. In just a few years, the Lord has got us to the place where I can go where He directs me to go, when He directs me to go. I don't have to ask anybody, can I go? I don't have to ask anybody for money. Come on, are you listening? Freedom, 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 freedom. Now, if all I want to do is roam around and play and waste time and money, that ain't going to work. The Lord's not going to finance that for me.
That's right.
But if my business is His business and I live to serve Him and I say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Then glory to God. Did you know this? He will pick up all the bills. He will pick up all the bills. He'll finance the whole thing. All the time. And this is not just for preachers.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to be a preacher to operate in this and live in this. I tell you what you do have to have. Faith. Huh? And that is non-negotiable. That is not optional. And there is no way around it. It is the only way. Without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
Didn't say challenging. It is impossible. And you don't see that word used very often with God. It's impossible to please Him except by, with, through faith. Keep reading here. He told him, get out of your country. Get away from your kinfolks. Reckon he ever told anybody else that? He told that very same thing to me and Phyllis. Very same thing. And it's not to say that your folks or your acquaintances, everything's bad about them or negative about them, but if his plan is for you to do something different, you have to be in a different environment. You have to have different influences. Yeah, come on, are you listening to me? Right, yeah. And if that's right for them where they are, well, don't judge them and don't knock it. But if he tells you to get up and go and do this or do that, then nothing will suffice except a step of faith.
Yeah,
somebody say step of faith. Step of faith. He said, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now I want you to this is challenging to do, but try to put yourself back in Abraham's shoes when he heard this. There was no church. This is long before Jesus ever came. He had no Bible. He had no name of Jesus. No in him realities or truths. Or no Philippians 4:19. Come on. You understand? None of that. What did he have? He had what God just told him. And faith has always come by hearing. Now, one thing we need to touch on here. When the Lord told him to go out, he obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he was going. If the Lord hadn't told him to go out and he had gone out not knowing, that's not faith. That's foolishness. That's presumption. Come on, do you understand that? Faith, what we're talking about when we say faith, it's not just anything you decide to believe and just anything you decide to do. We're talking about faith in God. And faith in God is based on what God said.
That's right.
I mean, I told some of my church folks the other day, I said, if some of them would say, well, you know, I'm believing that Brother Keith's going to come over and cut my grass. Because all things are possible to him that believes, and I believe, and I'm just going to believe he comes cut my grass. Based on what? Well, my grass needs to be cut. And all things are possible. Now, see, you could think, well, they got scripture for it. No, they don't. Faith is not based on nothing. Faith in God is based on what he said. Faith in me would be based on what I said.
That's right.
Did I tell you?
No.
I would come cut your grass?
No.
Then there's no way you could have faith in me that I would come cut your grass. You got nothing to base it on. Come on, do you see this, friends?
That's good.
See, a lot of people in the so-called word and faith camps have gotten off on this. Because they just decide they're going to believe something out of thin air. I'm going to believe this. I'm going to believe for this. Based on what? On what? You better not pull up everything and launch out with no idea where you're going. And the Lord hadn't told you to go. Because it's not going to turn out well. Think about this. You know, the Lord told the disciples right before he ascended, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Didn't he say it?
That's right.
And then just a few years later, Paul and his company is launching out to preach to the known world. And the Bible said they started to go here and the Spirit of God forbade them to go. They started to go over here and the Spirit of God suffered them not. Well, I thought we were supposed to go into the whole world. Not you individually.
That's right.
And some people ain't ready for you. They are not ready for you. And the Lord knows who they are. And so He won't send you to them. So if you just show up because you sent yourself, quoting scripture, go into all the world, and I'm going. And they need Jesus. And they do. But you can be totally out of faith. And actually, instead of being in faith, be in disobedience.
Yeah, that's right.
Be in presumption. And there's pride that goes along with that. You're writing your own orders. Acting like you're the commander-in-chief. No, the Bible says we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier. Good soldiers go where they are sent and stay where they are stationed. And it's not always easy. It's not. I've been in a few places in my few decades of service that, you know, I got uncomfortable and I fell down across my bed and put in a request for a transfer. And it came back denied. So now, what am I going to do? Well, if I'm a good soldier, there ain't nothing to discuss. If I'm rebellious and hard-headed, well, I'm going to do my own thing. And that's where things go wrong. If you don't go where and when the Lord sent you, or you don't stay where He stationed you, then you're not taking steps of faith and you're not going down the prescribed path of His will and plan. Now, the plan that He has for us, anybody remember Proverbs 4? Talking about the path of the just. What happens with it? It shines brighter and brighter. But what if you're not on that path? What if you get off that path and go another direction? Well, it gets darker and darker. Before we leave this place in Genesis 12, I want you to read the rest of it. After the Lord told him what to do and told him what would happen, that He would bless him. Verse 4, what happened? What happened? So Abraham prayed. Abraham set aside a special time of fasting and seeking the Lord. Somebody said, you already said that. I know I'm liable to say it another couple of times before the night's over. Do you know why I'm saying it? Because there are millions of people doing these things instead of that. The Lord said, get up out of here and go. Man, I have seen it. I have seen it firsthand. Numerous individuals. I know of a young man and woman. Oh, this has been 20-some years ago. They came to me so excited and said, you know, the Lord had told them to go to Rhema Bible Training Center. And how many thank God for Rhema and the Hagans? Glory to God. We are different people. Because of, oh, thank God. And they said, you know, they were so excited. Now, go with me to the book of Luke while I'm talking about this. And I want you to see this in Scripture as I share this illustration. In Luke, let's see, chapter 18. Luke 18. They came so excited. We've already talked about this at the first of the service. If you really hear from the Lord, faith comes by hearing this anointed word, and it's a quickening that comes with it. It quickens you. And you get excited about it. Somebody say excited. Excited. Now, as surely as the good word of the Lord comes to you that gives you faith, that quickens you, that excites you, immediately thereafter, the enemy will come to douse that out. and to steal that word from you, because that word has the power to change your life and change you into something else and change your life into something else. It might take years for it to all bear fruit, but it has that power in the seed right then. And you can tell if the enemy was successful in stealing the word from you if and when you lose your joy, you lose your excitement. Come on, can you see this? You were so pumped, you were so excited. And have you ever seen anybody like this? Man, they were in a meeting or they were in a service or they heard from God in a time of prayer or seeking Him. And you see them just a week or two later or a month later and it's totally gone. You say, well, what about that so-and-so? And they look at you like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. We're going to pray about that some more and we're going to look at that some more. And I don't have all the answers on that. I don't see as much as I want to see. And He's not going to show you either. This is how faith works. He's not going to show you the rest of it. He will open the door. He'll say, come on through. And you'll look down and go, what's in there? And you will hear nothing. Silence. In your flesh you'll go, ooh, what's in there? I've never been in there before. Exactly. You know, I looked up the definition of taking a step. Yeah. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? What is the definition of step? Now listen to this. This is profound. It means to move. Another definition was to go. And here is a definition that describes how to do it. By lifting the foot and setting it down again in a new position. Let's go over again that real slow. To move by lifting the foot. Everybody say, lift the foot. And now we're not going to set it down in the same place. We're going to set it down in a new position. And then you lift up the other foot and you set it down in a new position. And you are stepping. Abraham was a stepper. He was a faith stepper. And all of his children are faith steppers. And I believe the Lord sent me here tonight to talk to some steppers. Some steppers. Not faith sitters. Faith steppers. Steppers. This couple I'm talking about, they were so excited. I had been Phyllis and I had been where they were. I knew the look, I knew the sound, and I thought, well, glory to God. And he looked at me and he said, but you know, we owe so much, and I just don't know how we can do it. I said, the Lord can easily take care of that. He said, would you pray with me? I said, yeah, sure. Well, we prayed a prayer of agreement. It wasn't a month and a half. He sent word. God had paid off all their bills, had paid off all their debts. Glory to God. And they had the money to move. Now tell me what it's time to do. What is it time to do? It's time to take a step. Well, the time came and go, and time for registration and go to school, and they weren't there.
That's right.
And sent word to find out, well, some things had come up. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that phrase?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever had some things come up?
Right.
Some things. It actually is annoying to me to hear people say that. Because I guess they think nobody else ever has anything come up. That their situation is so unique. Oh, are you kidding me, friend? We'd have never done any of the things we've done in ministry if we'd have stopped because something came up.
That's right. That's right.
The devil will see to it.
Yes, he will.
This something comes up. That ain't the question. Something's going to come up. The question is, are you going to let it stop you? Or are you going to? Step out. Well, another year passed. And another year passed. And I was able to talk to this individual. I said, what, you know, I thought you were so excited about it. Yeah, I was. But, you know, there's just a lot of things to take into consideration. And the kids and their school. And, you know, my folks are getting older and her folks, and they need more care. And it's just not as simple as, you know, we're still praying about it. That was like 20-some years ago. And they, not only are they not still praying about it, they're divorced and not in the ministry and have had terrible health problems and accidents with their children and stuff. Friend, it is dangerous. It is dangerous to get light and not walk in it. It is dangerous on so many levels. Dangerous. I want you to notice this in Luke 18. You'll see this in the Word. Luke 18 is the story we call of the rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus and wanted to know what he could do to obtain eternal life. And I want you to see the way he approached Luke 18, and what is it, about verse 20 or so down through here? 18. A certain ruler asked him. Now, if you look at Mark's account of this and Matthew's account, they add that he came running to him and fell down. Now, when you come running to somebody, that indicates some things, don't it? This young man is, what's the word? He's quickened. He has heard Jesus speak. He knows this is what he's looking for. Isn't it? He has walked in the Word. You read the rest of the story. He knew the commandments. He had kept the commandments. He had walked in the light that he had, but inside him, he knew there was more. You ever heard somebody say, I just feel like there's more? You know why you feel like there's more? Because there's more. Do you know how you might get to that more? Let me give you a clue. Huh? Not just a step of
faith.
It's going to take a step of faith to get into it. He was so excited. And when he heard Jesus, oh, he didn't know he was hearing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But he knew he had never heard words like this before. And they're going off in him like bombs. And he knows this is what I... And all he knew to do was run. And he run and he fell down. And he said, what can I do? I want this. I want all of it. What can I do? Now, this has happened so many times. When people get light and they walk in it and they get excited and God becomes real to them and they know this ain't all. There's more. There's much more. There's much more. And you get hungry and you go, Lord, I want it. What's the rest? Show me. Yes. Well, be prepared. Because when He shows you, again and again, it's going to be different than how you thought. And it's going to require faith, and faith is evidence of things not seen. And it's not easy on your flesh. So this man is all excited. And the Lord looks at him and asks him about the commandments. Verse 21, all these I've kept from my youth up. He's excited. He's pumped. And when Jesus heard these things, He looked at him. Other accounts say He loved him. And He said, you lack one thing. There's one thing standing between you and what you're looking for. There's just one thing that is in between you and going all the way with God and seeing things you've never seen and experiencing things you've never experienced and finding your heart's desire. There's just one thing. What do you think he thought when he heard that? Glory to God. One thing. Man, he's on pins and needles. He's waiting for that one thing. One thing. He may be thinking, climb the highest mountain. Swim the biggest ocean. You know, fast 150 days. And the Lord says, one thing. You need to go and sell everything you got and distribute to the poor. No, this treasure in heaven affects you in the here and now and in the future. You know he wouldn't have sown like this at the Lord's direction and not reaped a harvest.
Yeah, that's good.
The Bible teaches sowing and reaping, both in this time and the next. But the greatest thing, the Lord is offering him personal access to his ministry and himself. He said, get free from all that and distribute it, and you come with me. And you stay with me, and you follow me. Mm-mm. Wow. The ones that did, the 12, their names are etched in the foundation of heaven forever. I don't know what the Lord had planned for him, but we know Judas fell out and had to be replaced. And whatever it was exceeding amazingly above what he could have ever planned for himself. So he hears what he's looking for. The Lord tells him, go, do this. That sounds like what he told Abraham. Get up, go, right? Now what is it time to do? What is it time to do? Pray. Fast? Counsel? Ask questions?
No.
And this is where so many... He came excited. He came thrilled. He came hungry. He came respectful. Now what happens to him? Can you see it? Read it. What happens to him? He heard this and what? He was what?
Sorrowful.
Very sorrowful. Because he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Did he lose his joy? Did he lose his excitement? Why? Because there was a point he saw something. And he knew it was right. And he chose to ignore it. And he chose to not follow it and not obey it. An old friend, that's when things turn ugly. And I'm telling you, every Christian, whether it's you, whether it's me, anybody, any one of us, anybody you know that have seemingly been floundering and lost and depressed and down for years, This is what happened. There was a point where the Lord told them to do something. Are you listening?
Yes,
and they saw it.
Right.
And it was time to step. And they didn't. They prayed about it. They talked about it. They counseled with people about it. And fasted about it. Thought about it. Now here's the danger of that. Go over to the book of James and look at this. I know this is sobering, but it's the truth. And the truth will make you free. James and 1 and verse 22. What does it say? James 1:22 says what? Be doers of the word and what? Not hearers only. You know, the prophet said on one occasion, he said, the people come to me as your people, and they listen to me as one that has a very lovely voice, or one that can play well on an instrument. And they hear your words, but they will not do them. We live in the entertainment age as well. And we are accustomed, most of us, from childhood, at watching and listening to stuff for hours with no intention of doing anything with it or about it. Huh? With no concept of acting on any of it. And you train yourself like that for years. You can do the same thing coming to church. And man, we got CDs and DVDs and we got downloads and we got broadcast all over the place, and it's so easy to hear, you know, CD 1 and 2 and 3 and go, glory to God, that's good. Where's the next set? What were you supposed to do with what you just heard? People look at you like, huh? Do. And this is the problem, because it's not how much you've heard that's going to change your life. The only word that's going to change your life and bring any results is the word you do. The word you step out on, the word you act, not the word you hear. Faith comes by hearing. But then faith without works is dead. Light is not just for seeing. Light is for walking in. Are y'all with me, friends? So we're a generation of hearers. And man, we can have seminars. We can take notes. We can look up Hebrew and Greek definitions. Y'all are too quiet. That will not pay your bills. That will not get your body healed. No, there comes a point where you see something. And when you see it, and it's Word of God, it's life, it'll quicken you. It'll excite you. And you'll see and know what to do. Now, you will not even remotely have the whole picture, and you won't know how you'll be able to do it or what will happen next. You'll have none of that.
That's right.
But you'll know enough to take a
step.
And if you will take that step, glory to God.
Yeah.
If you will take that step. For years I read in the gospel accounts where the Bible said the man that had the withered hand, and the Lord told him, stretch forth your hand.
That's right.
And he stretched it out, and it became whole like as the other. Every time I'd read that, I'd see the man doing this. That ain't what he told him to do. He didn't say extend your arm. He said stretch forth your
hand.
He can't. It's like he told the man, get up off your pallet. He can't. He's tried to how many times? Oh, but friend, stretch forth your hand. Now this is where it's made or broken. This is where you get a miracle or you get depressed. Where you begin to think, well, heal it for me and I will. It's not how it works. Well, it's been like that for 13 years, and the doctors said, and we did this, and that didn't do any good. He didn't want to hear any of that. He already knows all that. It's real simple. Are you going to step out or not? Well, y'all pray. It won't do any good. Are y'all with me, friends? Do you know, it is so simple, any 2 and 3 year old can understand it clearly. The key to getting the greatest miracles on the planet is what Jesus told them at the wedding feast. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. It won't make sense so many times to your head. You won't be able to figure it out. You won't know why. You won't know how. You won't know where the money will come from. You won't know where you'll live. You won't know how it'll happen. And you never will find out unless you take the first step. Somebody say glory to God. Say glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Acts 9, please. I remember so clearly when the Lord dealt with Phyllis and myself to come out here from central Mississippi out in the country, come to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and go to... Well, actually, no, I'm getting ahead of myself. He dealt with us to come to a camp meeting. And looking back now, I didn't see it at the time, but looking back now, we had been feeding on tapes, not CDs, tapes. One of the youth in our church asked Phyllis, wide-eyed, "What is an 8-track?" Got a whole generation that got a clue what an 8-track is now. Anybody here know what an 8-track is? Oh, yeah. Tape, and we had listened to for a couple of years, and looking back now, the Lord was getting faith in us to where we'd be able to step out and obey what He was about to tell us. I didn't see it then, but that's how it works. And it took all the faith we had to believe for money to come out for the week of camp meeting. I mean, all the faith we had. To be able to have a place to stay and a car to get here. We didn't have a car that would make it out here. And but we went ahead and made plans because we felt confident that the Lord told us to come to camp meeting. And we didn't know that that was connected with His plan for the rest of our life. And He didn't tell us that. And He won't. Because you either trust Him or you don't. But we knew we were supposed to go. And friends and family didn't understand it. Well, why do you need to go out there for a church meeting? But we knew we had to go. And we made plans. We took off from our work and we made plans. And we didn't have the money. Didn't have a car that'd make it. But we planned and we believed and we confessed. All the faith He'd been putting into us in those tapes for the last 2 years, it was bubbling up now. Huh? And I mean the week of the time to leave, somebody came and offered us their new car.
Amen.
And say, take our car and enjoy. And somebody, and we're going down. We hadn't discussed whether we even had enough to do it or not. But Phyllis said, "Guess what?" I said, "What?" She said, "I got money." I said, "Well, guess what? I got money too. Just the last few days, people had handed us money. And we had plenty for gas and to eat and a place to stay. And so we went out and stood in line for hours and hours and hours to try to get good seats and stayed there all day long and ate nachos. And anybody know what I'm talking about? All day long. And I mean, it was a life-changing experience. When I saw the night crowd of what were thousands of people stand up, and it sounded like 80% of them spoke in tongues, I was shocked. I didn't know there was that many people in the world spoke in tongues at one time. I thought, glory to God. This is amazing. And they kept talking about the school, Rhema. And back, a year or two before, we were familiar with Brother Hagin's ministry, reading his books and that kind of thing, and we're on the mail list for the publication, and a graduating class with all the red robes was on the front page of one of these, and I saw it, and just for a moment, a thought came through my mind, wouldn't that be great to be a part of something like that? And then I thought, nah, not me. And that was the end of it. And they kept talking about free tours. You want to take a tour of the school. And we both felt impressed. We should take a tour of the school. So we took a tour of the campus. And as we came on the campus and we got out and they were leading us, walking through the buildings, oh man, the Spirit of God came on us and began to minister to us. And we just got silent. And we're riding the bus on the way back down to the Civic Center after the tour, neither one of us saying a word. And Phyllis said, "It smells down here." It's the middle of summer like this, and the oil refinery downtown was smelling real bad. And I said, acting dumb, I said, "Why you say that?" She said, "You know." I said, "What?" She said, "We're supposed to go." And we were. And all the way driving back home, we, such country bumpkins, we got lost nearly every night going back to the hotel after the service. And we're staying in the rough part of town, didn't have sense enough to know it, just clueless. But we were in the middle of the perfect will of God for our lives at that moment. Come on, are you listening? Because we took a step to go to the meeting. Now, what if we hadn't taken the step to attend the meeting? Over the next few months, we believed God, and it seemed impossible. We didn't have the money. We didn't know anybody. Where would you stay? Where would you work? All the questions everybody has, and none of that matters. Had four people agree with me on it. All the myriad of questions that can come to your mind, none of that matters. The Lord told, you know, when Martha came in, and He said, "Martha, you are troubled about many things. One thing is needful." Somebody say, "One thing, one thing." At every juncture in your life, there's only one thing that matters. What did He tell you to do? Forget about job, bills, house, kids, all that. He already thought about all that. He already knows the solution and answer. Well, I wish He would tell me. He's not going to. On purpose. Do you trust Him? Then do what He said. We launched out. Oh, man. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies. I'm sure we did. We got here. We figured, well, it's a big town. You know, surely we can find a place to stay easy enough. Not too smart. Before I finish it up, Phyllis worked in a doctor's office. And they had this seminar conference. And the doctor she worked for just happened to sit down beside a doctor who had a thriving practice here. And he just happened to look at her and said, "Man, I need somebody to help me in my office." And the guy said, "I got just the girl for you. Does she have to type?" And he said, "No." She said, "Great, she's your girl then." And she was hired sight unseen. And God began to just do things. But how many understand? You got to make a commitment and begin to step out before any of these things are going to start happening for you. You can't wait for them to happen, then you're going to go. That'll never happen. It'll never work. And so we came. We couldn't find a place to stay. We're staying in a little dumpy hotel, and we're spending our registration money. And Phyllis is crying. It'd have been mighty easy to load up and go home. But he told us something. Come on, are you listening? And we stuck it out, and we got a little apartment in the rough part of town, and we made it the next day, and the money came in for the tuition, and we were going to go 1 year and go home. Yeah. And that turned into 20. And everything after that has worked the same way. When we came to Branson, all I had was that we were supposed to relocate our ministry office to Branson. I had no intention of a church. No idea of a church. But once we got there, and we began to look for a place, and Phyllis used to be in real estate, and so I said, well, you know, you look a little bit, and I'll just stay in here and pray today. And she did, and she called me all excited. She says, you got to come see this place. I said, if you can, maybe find a little place we could put a couple of hundred people in, shoot some TV stuff and that kind of thing. And she said, I found a place. It's amazing. And I won't go into all the details. So I said, how big? She said, it seats 2,500 people. And I said, huh? What do we need that for? And she said, I don't know, but you got to see it. You need to see it. Because she had that quickening when she saw it and when she walked in the door. And when I did, same thing, but my head's going, boom, boom, boom. What? What do I need this for? I'm not starting a church. I'm not a pastor. And she looked at me, and I looked at her. It wasn't set up for a church. It'd been empty for a couple of years. Of course, it cost millions of dollars. We didn't have one. And 1 million, I'm talking about. And we went back to our little condo, and we prayed, and we thought, Lord. And the Lord prompted us. Get that place. Get that place. Get that place. And then what? No answer to that one. Wow. I don't think we could have put together a couple of hundred thousand, maybe. That wouldn't be enough to even try to do a deal. I told the owners we wanted to meet with them. And I said, well, you know, what if we did this? We got in and we get started and we rent it from you and we lease it for X amount of time and then we begin to buy it at the end of that time. And they said, no, we just want to sell it. I said, okay. What if, what are you laughing about? Do you know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Come on, do you know what I'm doing? I picked my foot up and I put it in a place where I hadn't been before. A new position. I've never been here before. Not in this, you know, a similar principle, but not exactly like this. And so, I said, well, what if we do this, this, and this, and then how we do that? They smiled. I said, no, we're not interested. We just want to sell it for X amount of price. And every time they said it, I had to almost close my ears. I don't want to hear that. You know, it sounds big. I don't need to think about how big it is. Sometimes Phyllis will tell me, don't tell me the price. Don't tell me the price. I don't want to know. Why? Because I'm just believing for it, whatever it is. I don't want the price in my head. And a third scenario, I said, well, what if we did this, this, and this? And they said, no, just want to sell it. We thanked them for their time and went back to our little place we were staying. Got on the floor and said, Lord, we don't know what else to do. We've gone as far as we can go. We trust you. You're more than enough. 7 o'clock the next morning, one of the guys called. Said, we'd like to meet you for breakfast. He had already met, with the other owners, and he apparently had stayed up during the night. And he told them, he said, you know, we don't know exactly what these folks do and how this works, but we need to do something for them. Something needs to happen for them. And they said, well, what if you did this, this, and this? Very workable situation. And you buy it at the end of 12 months. And we said, I said, yeah, that'd be great. And they said, okay, we'll drop the paperwork. And we said, all right. And so she and I went back over to our new facility. Nobody there but me and her. And there's like 28 bathrooms over here and 28 over here. And our little handful of staff is down here in Tulsa, busy with their stuff. And we thought, now what? What do we do? And I had spent a night or two with the calculator. And it just wasn't working. No matter what I tried to think, how, you know, a place like that, it eats up some money. I mean, I just saw our electric bill for last month. It's different from your house. And I just finally had to put the calculator in the drawer and quit looking at it because it wasn't working. Nothing I could do to make this. And people felt necessary to call me some and say, you know, Brother Keith, you got a good ministry and you got plenty of places to go speak. I mean, what you want that big old place like that for? I mean, you know, you could get in trouble. I don't need them to tell me that. That thought already came across my mind. I finally just had to quit listening to anybody and not talking about it. And we thought, what do we do? And we went back and to the room, and the Lord prompted us, go to church next Sunday. I mean, the next day was Sunday. Go to church. Well, that's a good idea. Go to church. And to a specific place, Jeff and Patsy Perry up in St. Louis, some friends of ours, I'd spoken there. We went up there. They're happy to see us. And they said, come eat with us at lunch. And so we went out to lunch with them and said, hey, we're moving into state with you. They said, oh, great. And they shouted. And we said, yeah, we got us a place down in Branson. They said, wow. And Jeff looked at me. He said, you got to open Resurrection Sunday. It was 3.5 weeks. And my head said, no. You know, how many know it takes money to renovate stuff, big buildings and tear out walls? And he said, and when he said it, the Spirit of God said, listen to him. I thought, He said, you need to start Resurrection Sunday. He said, we'll help you. I thought, how? They have a disaster relief organization. And at that point, I felt like we qualified. He said, we'll send people down, and they'll help you get this thing ready. He announced it in their church the next Sunday, and with some of his guys came down in the week in between, and we got a plan on what needs to happen on the platform. We're going to turn this dirty bus driver lounge into a Sunday school room, and we're going to do this. And I mean, 100-some people came down at their own expense and spent the whole week there, slept on the floor, cooked burgers on grills out in the backyard. Housewife teenagers, skilled craftsmen, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, they descended on every inch of that place. They cleaned it up, they stripped it, they painted it, and then the next week another 100 came down. And in 3.5 weeks, we opened the doors and had our first service. Glory to God. And at the end of the months, We purchased it from them, and in another year and a half, it was paid for.
Glory,
glory to God. Somebody say, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now I want to ask you a question. What if we had not gone to the camp meeting? We would have never known about me being involved in the healing school at Rhema, or teaching in the Bible school, or being able to travel and be on the road with the Hagans. We'd have never known about a church in Branson, or now a church. We'd have never known about it. We'd have just known we're miserable. Did y'all hear me? We'd have just known that we feel like there's more. And we're not doing enough. And we're unfulfilled. Did you find James now? I haven't digressed. James 1:22, what does it say? Be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. What happens if you do? Deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. He beholds, he looks at himself, and then he goes his way. Now, did he see something? Did he see something about himself? Yes. But then what happens if he just hears and doesn't put it into practice? What happens? He can forget what he saw. And as he forgets what he saw, that's how you become deceived of your own self. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues there, in other words, he doesn't let it get away from him. He doesn't procrastinate until he forgets what it was he ever saw. It's dangerous, friends, to procrastinate. To pray when it's time to obey. It's dangerous to counsel when it's time to move. Time to act. Time to step. Light from heaven is precious. It's not to be toyed with. It's not to be despised. When the Spirit of God makes something clear to you, makes something plain to you, and you get excited about it, this is holy. This is special. This is light from God. This is the plan for your life. No, you won't see much of it, but you'll see enough to take a step. But if you play around, and if you put it off, and you go, well, yeah, you know, maybe after the kids get out of school, and after mom and them stuff gets better, and after this, and I've only got, you know, 8 more years, then I can retire with this and this, and then I've got this. And friend, in the next months and years, what happens is you can completely forget what you saw. And if you forget what you saw, now you are deceived. You think that you don't know what to do and can't find out. I know this is sobering, but it's the truth. I don't like the idea of that, do you? To be in a place where you're deceived, and you can't even blame the devil for it. Self-deceived. There was a time when something was clear to you and plain to you. Like those guys I was talking about. Man, they were so excited. They were so jazzed about it. And then a few years later, you talk to them and they're so confused and down. Well, you know, this is going and that's going and we just don't know. And it's a lot of things. No, it's not a lot of things. It's one thing. What did he tell you to do? Why do I need to put water in the pot? We don't need water. We need wine. I got other jobs to do. And Abraham could have said, you know, I got a lot of stuff going here. I've got employees, I've got herds, I've got flocks. You know, you have to think ahead. What I do affects hundreds of people's jobs and their kids. And I can't just launch out and don't even know where I'm going. So y'all pray. And we'll just keep seeking God on this thing. Oh, that sounds spiritual, don't it? You know, let's and then as soon as we know enough, then we can start making plans. And as soon as we get this taken care of, and as soon as we get, oh, friend, it's a trick of the devil. It is so exciting to walk by faith. You see miracles. You experience amazing things. When he says, stretch forth your hand, you won't know how. You may have tried to do it many times with no success, but when he says, stretch forth your hand, you go ahead and you reach to stretch it out just like you're going to stretch it out. And when you reach the end of your ability to do it, you will meet the power of God. And when you take a step with not a clue how, with who, where the money, not a clue. When you take a step, you won't see it till you do. But when you take the step, then something will happen and you'll see how to take another step. And then something else will happen and you'll see how to take another step. Yep. Come on, can you see this? Right. It's happening again with us in our ministry in the new church in Sarasota. Oh, man. I could tell you some stories. We didn't know anybody down there. We didn't have any contacts. We still don't know who's going to show up. But we found the place. It's a factory. It's not a church. And it was already sold, they said. Had already been published on the news and in the papers that it was sold. But I guess it wasn't. We told them we don't want to try to buy it out from under them. They said, oh, they hadn't bought it from us. They were upset about it. So here we go. And we got it, and we're putting steel in, and we're building platforms, and we're turning green grass and acreage into parking lots, and we're just preparing like we got a big happening church down there. And we hadn't had a service. We hadn't had one service. We hadn't had one person show up yet. And man, if God don't come through, it'll be the flop heard around the country. But I'm not losing one wink of sleep about it. It doesn't bother me in the least. It all comes down to this. Did the Lord direct you to do it? That's it. Did he direct you to take that step? Now, if he didn't, you're setting yourself up for major problems. But if he did, and I can already see, it's just like the Branson story. This has happened, and that's happened, and this has happened, and that's happened, and that's happened. And we've met the most interesting, amazing people. And you're talking about being at the right place and at the right time and the connection. It's just amazing. And some folks have said, well, you know, this will take you. This guy tried to do this. Took him 2 years to get his permits. And we said, well, we'd been there working on it for, I don't know, just a matter of weeks. And we said, we already got ours. They said, what? I said, yeah. You know, it's good not to know any better, right? You just go in and believe God and smile. And God has a plan for your life. Just like that. He's got a plan for every one of us. And it is exceeding abundantly above anything you've ever thought. Do you believe it? Anything you've ever thought. If you're sitting there going, well, man, I hadn't been happy and we've been unfulfilled. It just seemed like there's more. There is more. Ain't no question about it. God's not, he's not never coming to you and saying, you know, I'm sorry, you know, you shot a little big on that and we can't do that right now. You're going to have to be satisfied with this. Never. Never. When he comes through for you, it's not close. It's not, you know, not quite. It's exceeding abundantly above. It exceeds what you were thinking or what you were talking about. Stand on your feet, everybody. Thank you, Lord. Singers and players, would y'all come up and get ready to help us? Oh, thank you, Lord. We're not done now. We're not done. Faith comes by hearing. What about the word that came tonight? Would it produce any faith? Faith for what? I believe that whether somebody's in the room or whether somebody will hear this message by another medium later or whatever, even if we've got off, even if we didn't walk in some light that we had, God is a merciful, merciful, gracious, good God. Do you believe that He is? And I want us to do what the rich young ruler did. I want us to, in our hearts, run up to Jesus tonight and ask Him, Lord, what do I lack? What's the one thing? Isn't that what He told him? One thing. One thing. What is it, Lord, I need to see and do? I want you to just close your eyes right now. Let me lead you in a prayer.